This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Cameron Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Source, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in it. Body hurts. It's not easy to do, so definitely take a lot of pride in that. And you know, we got a lot of guys that go out there and play every day as position players and things like that. You know, I feel like that's the one responsibility and thing that I can control as a starter is preparation and putting myself in a position to take the ball every fifth day. And you know, outside of some of the tough results or some of the good results, that was definitely something that I can hang my hat on since I've been pitching here for the Red Sox.
25 hours to go here, Murray. 25. One tonight, one tomorrow.
That's it for the season.
7 o'clock tomorrow night, as far as we are concerned, the baseball season in Boston is over. Over. O-V-A. Over. Rick Porcello last night, speaking following a game at Texas in which he made what was arguably his last start as a member of the Red Sox. I want to touch on Porcello, 617-779-0985. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, has opened the phone lines already. So if you want to hop on board, now's a good time to do it. Before I get to Porcello, let me remind everybody that the same rules apply that have applied really for the last few weeks. And that is that anything and everything on the Red Sox, because you get a couple of nights to get in here. And then there will be no baseball reporters again until next spring when the Red Sox take the field in anticipation of opening day 2020. You'll get the baseball reporters again. I've mentioned that we are planning to come to you in podcast form during the off season. It's just a way to sort of continue the listenership. Obviously, we have commitments here at 98.5 with regard to the Bruins, Celtics. We carry the games of both teams as well as those of the Patriots. So the baseball reporters, without the Red Sox in the playoffs, would have gotten squeezed out anyway. That's why we stop at the end of the baseball season. Once the Red Sox are done playing meaningful games, we're done. And we'll be back in the spring. But as a way to continue baseball talk, we will come to you in podcast form during the off season, and you can always listen in on Matt McCarthy's podcast as well, Hardcore Baseball. But tonight, 617-779-0985. My question on Rick Porcello is this. The Red Sox have obvious needs at starting pitching. Rick Porcello is a free agent. There has been no indication that the Red Sox will re-sign him. There was never any real talk of the Red Sox signing him before the season. As far as we know, there were never any real negotiations. They negotiated with Chris Sale. They negotiated with Xander Bogaerts. Now that Rick Porcello seems on his way out the door, and I still think there's a chance he could come back, but we'll get to that later. Now that Porcello's on his way out the door, and you look at his tenure in Boston, Porcello pitched here 5 years. The last four of those seasons, he pitched on a four-year, $82.5 million contract. Okay, those are the final 4 years. He made $20.6 million. Overall, in his 5 years, here, Rick Porcello made $95 million. He won 73 games as a member of the Red Sox. He posted a 4.43 ERA. So when I add all of that up, again, 73-55, 4.43 ERA, which I have to believe over that length of time was worse than the league average. Jim Murray, Jimmy Stewart, and you, the Red Sox fan, wherever you are tonight, was Rick Porcello worth the money? Was he worth it?
Yeah, sure, he was worth it. Yeah. I mean, towards the end here, he's been mostly mediocre. I think you can make the case he was mostly mediocre throughout it. But he did win a Cy Young, and he was a World Series champion. So for that money, yes, he was worth it.
Jimmy Stewart?
I think he was. He pitched 200 innings on average here, won a championship, a Cy Young. And when he actually started using his two-seam fastball down the stretch here at the end of the year, or his four-seam or whichever one they told him not to use earlier in the season, he started pitching well again.
Do you want him back?
I'll take him back, yeah.
No, I'm good.
You don't want him at all?
No.
What if the price is right, Murray?
What are you talking?
I don't know. Let's say under $10
million. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean,
I also like his attitude. Like, he had an attitude. He wanted the ball. He wanted to pitch a complete game. And I like the attitude. I think he's a leader on this team.
Yeah, so Jimmy mentions the innings. Like, he is a workhorse, you know, and he will eat innings, even if he's getting his face beat in. So, yeah, I mean, if it's short money and, you know, there's obviously familiarity and he is a leader and he does own it. When he does suck, he owns that. I do respect that. So if the money's good, sure, fine, why not?
So now the cut we played coming into the show tonight was Porcello talking about how seriously he takes the responsibility of starting every fifth day. The durability factor, right? The innings, all that stuff. Jimmy, let's play it again. As an aside, you know what? I want to ask you later if you think he sounds like Aaron Rodgers. We're going to do a little side-by-side later of Porcello's voice and Rodgers' voice. But for now, Porcello, again, this is what he said after the game last night.
Yeah, I took a lot of...
When he was asked about, you know, taking the ball every 5 days come hell or high water.
Yeah, I took a lot of pride in it. Body hurts. It's not easy to do, so definitely take a lot of pride in that. And, you know, we got a lot of guys that go out there and play every day as position players and things like that. You know, I feel like that's the one responsibility and thing that I can control as a starter is preparation and putting myself in a position to take the ball every fifth day. And, you know, outside of some of the tough results or some of the good results, that was definitely something that I can hang my hat on since I've been pitching here for the Red Sox.
See, I think this is actually an underrated talent and an underrated skill set, underrated value in Major League Baseball. So I asked Murray, I asked Jimmy, is Rick Porcello worth $20.6 million a year? Or was he during his time in Boston? Going forward, he's not worth that. We all know that. But during his time in Boston, was he worth $20.6 million a year for the last 4 years? Was he worth $19 million over the length of his contract? My answer is a resounding yes. Resounding.
Porcello blow.
Before, apparently Adam Jones feels otherwise. Not that that's a shocker.
Porcello blows.
So, and I'm not going to tell you I love everything about Porcello because I don't. But I do think that being able to take the ball every 5 days, hugely important to a baseball team. Hugely. And before I get to some of the particulars on Porcello, let me just get your thoughts on him. So Mike in a car and Rick Porcello, do you think he was worth it?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think he was worth it, but I agree as well that he's not going to be worth that amount going forward. But I think if it's the right amount and the right number of years, I'd like to have him here because of the durability. I think he's been the most durable starter the past 4 or 5 years, and I like that he wants the ball. I like a guy that's out there. If the offense is there for him, maybe he puts up good numbers again.
Mike, he has been indisputably the most durable member of the rotation over the last 5 years. Indisputably. Eduardo Rodriguez was in and out with injuries until this year, and his performance was a little more inconsistent. David Price had injuries. Chris Sale got hurt at the end of the year every time he's been here. They've all had some injury issues one way or another. Doug in the car, what about you?
Tony, in addition to the points you've made about him, you know, just eating up innings, I also want to add that I think he was a good locker room guy. He brought a certain grit to his play, and I think championship teams need that. They need balls, you know, someone who's going to pit inside, who's going to keep your toes. I think he was a good locker room guy in that sense.
Hey, Doug, before we let you go, if I were to say to you, how many pitchers in baseball over the last 5 years, you know, because, again, the guys who can make their start every 5 days are rare, but 30 teams in the major leagues, how many guys – do you think there are that have made roughly as many starts as Porcello over the last 5 years?
Well, I don't know.
20, 30, 10?
I'd say he's, I don't know, in the top 10%.
Okay. He's higher than that. He's higher than that. So I looked this up this morning, and this was through games of last night. So anything that changed today, I can't account for. Tied for number one in games started over the last 5 years. Number one in baseball, in games started over the last 5 years. Two other guys had as many as Rick Porcello over that period of time. One, John Lester, whom the Red Sox let go because they were worried about him not being durable into his 30s. And secondly, Julio Teheran with the Braves. Okay, so 159 starts over 5 years. No starter in baseball has made more starts during that period of time than Rick Porcello. Nobody's pitched more. Here's another one for you. 5 year period. Do you think Porcello's in the top, I don't know, call it 30 in wins over that period of time. And to give you an idea, he won 73 games for the Red Sox over a five-year period. So that is what? That's 14 and a half wins a year on average. He obviously had one huge year in there of 22 wins. He won the Cy Young Award. But on average, he won you 14 ball games a year. How many guys in the big leagues do you think have done that?
He's got to be top 10.
He's fourth.
Okay. Wow, that's way higher than I thought. But
okay, so there were only 9 pitchers in the game, Murray, that have won as many as 70 ball games over the last 5 years. You want to know who the list is?
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw is 9. He makes big dough. Jay Happ, I don't know what his money is with the Indians. He's like Porcello, probably in the middle. Number 7, Justin Verlander. Number 6, Gerrit Cole. Number 5, Jake Arrieta, who got a big contract from the Phillies. Then Porcello. Number 3, John Lester. Big contract from the Cubs. Number 2, Max Scherzer. Huge contract from Washington. Number 1, Zach Greinke, who got the biggest pitching contract in the game based on average annual salary. So when you look at that list,
it's pretty good company.
It's great company. Now, look, Porcello's not as good as those guys. He doesn't give you the same ERA that those guys do, and most of those guys are in the 2s or low 3s. Of the guys on that list, Porcello has the highest ERA by a lot. But just taking the ball in that sport means a lot. It takes the wear and tear off the other guys on the staff. It allows you to plan and manage your bullpen. You don't have to worry about, you know, having 8-9 starters, as some organizations do. The durability factor with Porcello is huge. Huge. He was worth every penny. He was worth every penny. Sometimes he sucked, but he was worth every nickel that the Red Sox gave him. And the Red Sox never really discussed a new contract with Porcello. Never really came up. Last night after the game, he expressed how much he enjoyed his time in Boston playing with. He talked about the owner. He talked about his teammates. He talked about his coaches and the manager. He never mentioned the fan base. So my question to you as we go to break, and then we'll answer it when we come back. Did Rick Porcello have a problem with the fans here?
Porcell blow.
Okay, did he have a problem with the fans here?
Porcell blows.
We'll try to answer that question when we come back, and I think I have what is an obvious answer. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Again, like I said, I don't, you know, get too emotional and close the door on anything. Who knows what's going to happen in the offseason. But, you know, from the bottom of my heart, it's been an absolute pleasure to wear this uniform and pitch for the Red Sox organization the last 5 years for Mr. Henry and Mr. Warner and all these guys, our coaching staff, all these players. It's as good of a group as you're going to find. I know this year hasn't worked out the way we wanted to, but it doesn't take away from the special human beings we have in this clubhouse. And that's really, for me, sitting there and just soaking that in was nice.
Again, Rick Porcello last night, after what was likely his last game as a member of the Red Sox. He was here 5 years. And, you know, that's the comment that I think most people focused on today. Been a pleasure to wear the uniform. Coach, manager, teammates, enjoyed. We got great guys in this room. He even mentioned the owners. He said John Henry, Tom Werner. Jimmy, he named them both by name, didn't he? Henry and Werner in that cut? And so, you know, when I listened to it, I went, interesting. He didn't mention the fan base. And we've done this with David Price, where David Price says, yep, love my teammates, you know, love pitching. But he leaves out the fans as if to suggest that the environment, the intensity, the let's face it, psychotic nature of the sports fan in Boston, because that's what it is and that's what makes it great. That sports fan does not sit well with David Price. So Porcello said, and I'll tell you what, we'll play you the comment again, because I want you to hear and listen to exactly what he says, who he mentions by name, who he mentions generally, and listen as to whether he mentions the fan base. And then I want to ask you, do you think there was part of the experience that he didn't like here? Jimmy, go ahead.
Again, like I said, I don't, you know, get too emotional and close the door on anything. Who knows what's going to happen in the offseason? But, you know, from the bottom of my heart, it's been an absolute pleasure to wear this uniform and pitch for the Red Sox organization the last 5 years for Mr. Henry and Mr. Warner and all these guys, our coaching staff, all these players. It's as good of a group as you're going to find. I know this year hasn't worked out the way we wanted to. But...
Okay, so again, you know, he basically says the whole group. Never mention the fans. Meanwhile, Adam Jones calls him Porcel Blow every chance he gets.
Porcel Blow.
I mean, over and over and over again.
Porcel Blows.
It's a tough place to play if you're not pitching well. Murray, do you think that part of him hated it here?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he heard it. I mean, they obviously all heard it. It's one of the things that motivated them on that run that they had last year. That was evident.
Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah, I think he hated the fan base.
Okay, so I think that at times... it was hard for him. But I'll tell you what. Here's the reason I don't put him in the same class as Price. Porcello wanted to come back. Porcello didn't want to leave because of it. David Price wants out. But he's not going to leave because he's not going to get the money anywhere else. Mookie Betts? I think Mookie Betts wants out.
He does. He's a David Price disciple.
So again, another guy who, all things being equal, just doesn't get it.
He clapped it out.
And when I say get it, I don't mean that they're wrong. I mean that, you know, they don't understand the mentality here, and they might be right to not understand it. Let's face it. We're spoiled. We're borderline psychotic, and we take it way too seriously. So how could, if they're well-adjusted, then that's not their fault. I mean, that's who they are. Porcello, my guess is that at the beginning he went, holy crap, this place is nuts. He's got Jones calling him Porcel Blow every night at 7 o'clock.
Porcel Blow.
Like,
all a matter of time before he heard it.
I mean, seriously, right? Like
Porcel Blows.
You know, and it wasn't a good beginning for him.
He didn't like Jared Carabas because he called him Pretty Ricky.
I know.
And so,
who doesn't like Jared Carabas?
I mean, boy, he had a tumultuous existence at times, Porcello did. It was really up and down.
Porcel Blows.
And yet, as Rick Porcello leaves... he's willing to come back. Or he was willing. He wanted to negotiate. I've had people tell me he offered to take less. And the Red Sox said, no, they're not interested. Now, I do think that as they get into the offseason, the market for Porcello might be bad. And I think the Red Sox could do worse than bring back a guy like that on short dollars who takes the ball every 5 days.
Tony, if they don't sign Nathan Eovaldi for 4 years and 17, do they negotiate with Rick Porcello, give him an extension?
Maybe. Yeah, again, so Dombrowski was the GM. I don't think Dombrowski likes Porcello. I mean, he traded him from Detroit the first time.
For Cespedes.
So, but the question is now, if there's a new GM that comes in and the price is right and you can get Rick Porcello on a one-year deal, would you do it? Would you do it? Brett in Groveland, I think, has an interesting comparison. Go ahead, Brett.
Porcello Blow.
Go ahead, Brett.
Thank you. I think the first person I think of when I think of Rick Porcello is Derek Lowe. And I think there's something to be said about a pitcher like that, that when you're playing the game, the defensive players know who's on the mound. And when you have somebody like Porcello, he's just going to pound the strike zone and keep the defensive players involved. So they know the ball is going to come to them. And I think they put up more runs because of that. They're more engaged. Somebody like Price, who's just going to, you know, maybe walk five guys. And you're just not, the defensive players don't like playing behind a guy like that. So I love Porcello. I think it's natural for him to hate the fans. Who gives a shit? The guys.
Am I right, Brett? Come on. You know you can't say that. Yeah, and you know what? I don't think he does hate the fans. I think at the beginning he had a hard time understanding it. But I think by the end of it, look, again, he had the whole Boston experience. He won a World Series here. He took a lot of crap for pitching like garbage. People like Jones making fun of him. He had all kinds of experiences here. He won a Cy Young and had a really bad year this year. He had the full Monty. He was willing to come back. He's still willing to come back. So I look at that and say, if you can live with it and you're willing to take less money, sure. Why not? Absolutely. Adam in Rhode Island. Adam, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, one of the highlights of this year has to be the emergence of Devers. I think he's got, what, 32 home runs this year?
No question.
And, you know, as far as the GM search goes, I think a while back, didn't you guys discuss Neil Harrington of the Pirates being a real good quality GM? And, you know, I'll take your answer off the air. Thanks,
so, so, Adam, someone suggested him as a candidate the other day. Again, he's from New Hampshire. He's a New Englander. I'm sure he has a lot of friends around here. The guy who probably called the other night was throwing his name out there, I'm sure. Was probably a friend of his and they want to make sure that he gets some consideration and maybe he'll want the job. Now, again, I can't tell you whether he's going to succeed or fail, and I don't really know Neil Huntington, and I don't know enough about the Pirates farm system over the years. That's one of those teams, the Pirates, to me, that for whatever reason just doesn't exist. I just don't ever take them seriously. They had a couple of good years in there. They had to trade off players because they couldn't pay him. I'm not telling you he didn't do a good job because he did pump out some players. But did you ever, in the last, I don't know, Jimmy, 25 years, did you ever think the Pirates were going to win the World Series? Did it ever cross your mind?
Maybe 2013 they'd be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought they were a real World Series threat. Murray?
Yeah, that year that Jimmy's talking about, I thought it was 12, 13, around that time. They look real good.
Okay, so again, I always felt like they
had Burnett, Cole was young, Lariano, I think, was still doing something.
Yeah, so, look, you guys are probably right. Again, I have a Pittsburgh bias when it comes to baseball. But you want to tell me that Neil Huntington can pump out players and the Pirates have pumped him out? I'll listen. I want somebody that's going to rebuild that farm system and at the same time isn't afraid to make a deal. I want that. Apparently, it's not going to be Theo because, as we told you last night, Theo Epstein said with, pretty much emphatically, he's committed to the Cubs. He wants to rebuild the Cubs. 2 years in his contract. He has no interest in coming to Boston. I wonder whether there's still a way for this to happen. And I'm not telling you it's likely. I think it's a long shot, but I think there is a door or a window or a sliver that would allow Theo to still come to Boston. Maybe against his wishes, but nonetheless, I think there is a way. I'll tell you what that is after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Can you say for certain to us that you are coming back? Because there was that story in Boston today, I'm sure you saw it.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, there's nothing to that story. Yeah, I'm here. We have a lot we need to work on to get back to the level we're accustomed to, and I'm invested in that. That's what I'm focused on. So, yeah, there's nothing to that.
That's Theo Epstein last night. We told you about that comment while we were on the air. That's the actual audio, which we did not have last night. I want to get to Theo in a second because, now, again, I believe him. I think Theo's intention is to stay with the Cubs. I believe him. But I still think there may be an avenue for the Red Sox to get him. The question is whether Theo would play along, and maybe he wouldn't because I think he still harbors some resentment towards ownership here. In fact, Sean McAdam, wrote a story today on BostonSportsJournal.com, and he said that Theo still harbors some ill feeling toward the organization for the way they treated Ben Cherington back in 2015. I heard that one, and I said, well, that's the wrong reason because one of your friends got treated badly by an owner. Like, that's one of those where you say, you start taking that approach, you're not going to work for anybody. So I'll say the same thing I said before about Theo's feelings towards Red Sox ownership. Get over it. Get over it. Now, just as a quick note, Red Sox owners have not made themselves available since dismissing Dave Dombrowski, firing him. They haven't made themselves available to discuss any of these Theo rumors. From what I understand, they are going to meet with regular beat people over there at Fenway Park tomorrow night. So there will be some comments that come from Sox ownership. And I don't know if it's a full-blown press conference because I think there's going to be limited access.
The email is tremendous. It's for an on-the-record gathering at 5 p.m. tomorrow in some suite at Fenway Park.
Okay, so again, it's not a full-blown press conference. Like, I don't think they want TV cameras there on the whole nine yards. But the owners, it sounds like they're going to be made available to the big people over there. That's what it sounds like.
No TV cameras, but audio recordings are allowed. Amazing.
So I would hope all the pertinent questions are asked, and I'm sure they will be. Why did you fire Dombrowski? Did he push for it? Why didn't you wait till the end of the year? And how far along are you in your search for his replacement? And could it go so far as to ask other teams, or that you'll be asking other teams for permission to interview some of their candidates? And I'm not talking about assistant GMs. So let's see if people put it. I don't know if you can ask about Theo point blank. I don't know. Is there a tampering rule when it comes to executives, Jimmy?
I'm sure that there is. But when we asked John Henry about Theo, he seemed open to discuss that they were talking to the Cubs at the time. And then he backed away from it.
So I wonder. I mean, maybe you can ask point blank. And to me, this is the point. Theo may say, no, I'm here. I'm focused on rebuilding this thing. What if ownership doesn't want him? What if ownership looks at Theo and says, two more years here. The only reason we're keeping you is because of the contract. We don't want to pay another GM. And what if the Red Sox say, we'll take on the contract? We'll take it on. You get out from under the contract and we'll trade you a player or something. Would the Cubs be willing to do it? Are the Cubs disenchanted enough with their run over the last 3 years, or the opposite of whatever a run is, their skid, their inability to sort of repeat what they did in 2016, are they so disenchanted that they would say, you know what, Theo, we need a fresh face here. It's been 8 years. Theo says that after 10, it gets old. If you're going to leave in two, why not go now? So again, if the Cubs are willing to do it, maybe there is an avenue there. I doubt it. Again, I think that's an extreme long shot, but I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility. Tom's in Quincy. Tom, go.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony, this whole Porcello thing, I'd welcome him back in a minute, because the lack of guys that can go every start, you know, 30-something starts a year, they're just not available anymore. So, you know, I know he made like 20-something million, but if he was willing to come back on a one-year deal for half that, I'd take him back in a minute.
Me too.
You know, because I think his attitude is what I like about him. I liked him ever since he bundled Euculus when he charged the mound a few years ago. But I like the attitude where he's willing to take the ball every single start. He doesn't get hurt. He doesn't complain. You know, he's pretty much kind of like a bulldog mentality on the mound. He's had some rough goes around here. But at the same time, I think the ability to have a guy that's willing to be penciled in a rotation, and you don't really have to worry about him as much when you have to piecemeal the rest of the rotation together due to injuries, then I think the guys like him are kind of invaluable in that way.
So, Tom, look, those guys that give you innings and starts and take the ball, there's tremendous value there. There is this tremendous value, just as there was for Derek Lowe. That's why teams signed him. He took the ball every 5 days. And look, with pitchers of that ilk, which means sinker ballers, guys that aren't throwing 96, you're going to have some up and downs. You're going to have bad years and good ones. But what you'll get generally is a guy who can keep throwing. That's what you'll get. And so I would do the same thing with Porcello. Here's what I'll tell you about Porcello, too, that I think the guy who left here was tougher than the guy who arrived here. So again, remember, when Porcello came here, he came here from Detroit. The Tigers were a perennial playoff team, and they wouldn't give him the ball in October. When the Red Sox won the World Series, not only were they giving Porcello the ball, they were giving him the ball in the bullpen in the late innings. They were willing to trust him in tough spots. So Porcello, it changed for Porcello here. I mean, I think his sort of, you know, growth as a pitcher, and it continued, and, you know, Porcello's got to be 30 now, right? He's in his 30s. But his growth as a pitcher and competitor, I think Boston made him a better competitor. I think he became a better pitcher during his time in Boston, and I think he realizes that. Again, I think that's why he wants to come back. Ryan's in a car in Porcello. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys, couple things. Normally, aside from his Cy Young season, I think he's not batting practice, and it makes me cringe watching his 91-mile-an-hour fastball. But I will give him credit when it's due. Do you remember that game against the Yankees? I think it was a complete game, shutout, took 92 pitches, and might have been just over 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yep.
That was incredible, okay? And I heard a stat, so it's a little outdated now, but he might have a sub-2 ERA against the Yankees in his, like, 10-start stretch. Now, that's incredible. I'll tip my cap to that. See you guys.
Yep. So, Ryan, I don't know about – I'd have to look against the Yankees. I know there were teams that beat his brains in. Toronto killed him every time he pitched against them. He couldn't beat Toronto for some reason. So, look, again, it's a matchup thing, and he is what he is. He's a middle-of-the-rotation guy at best. If Rick Porcello's your first or second starter, you're in trouble. You're not going to win it. Okay, you're not going to win it. He'll take the ball every 5 days, but on a championship staff, he's a third or even a fourth guy. And when you're a big market team like the Red Sox, you can pay him big money. I'm telling you, the team that signs him will be a bigger market team that needs a middle or end of the rotation guy and knows they can get him for something affordable. That'll be the team that signs him, and that'll be the team that Porcello wants to go to because he doesn't want to go and pitch in some smaller mid-market for no money on a team that sucks. That does him no good. He isn't going to get the money either way. So if he's going to get, and he's not going to get an ace role either way. So go to a contender and fill in the end of the rotation. And I think, you know, the Red Sox, given what their needs are, could do worse than a guy like Porcello. All right, quickly, DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Week. Just a reminder, you can play free fantasy baseball with the promo code BOSTON when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. And again, the code is BOSTON, minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. The Indians are playing the White Sox tonight. There's a righty on the mound for the White Sox, a guy I don't know a lot about, but he's not very good. Cleveland is battling for its playoff life. The Indians are a game out of the playoffs at the moment. Francisco Lindor, to me, is a guy to go with. I love Lindor as a player. He's $4,200, and you can get good pop there. And again, Cleveland's desperate, so I think you're going to get... I look at a lot of the Cleveland players in this game, but I do like Lindor quite a bit.
The Baseball Reporters on 88.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.